Hey, Wicked Bunch. I'm your host, Alyssa.
And I'm Tasha.
And this is Wicked Wives.
I'm sorry what I did. Don't talk. Just listen. I'm sorry what I did. I couldn't help it. Don't know why. I'm so upset. But you just can't forget the fact of big dream.
Okay, so this case is freaking, it's sad. Okay, don't get me wrong. It's really sad and it's really fucked up, but oh my God, I can't. We're going to be talking about Ghetto Granny, or better known as Cynthia. I'm going to butcher this, but it's Cynthia Sibaka, I think that's how you pronounce it. Oh man, girl.
Woo. Boss-ass bitch.
She is something else. I'm gonna say it. She's something else. I did this one because, like I said, it's crazy, it's sad, and just like the audacity of this woman. Like, she's got some balls.
The audacity.
Yeah, the audacity. Okay, so we're gonna jump on in it. So we're, like I said, Ghetto Granny. You'll understand why we call her that here in a minute. She gave birth to a baby girl named Laura. And while she was growing up, they lived in a really shitty neighborhood, like a lot of times. So this made Cynthia have to get a gun. So she was really good at, you know, firearms. She knew how to use it. That will come in handy later. So just pin that on the board and keep it for later.
Tuck it away in the brain game.
Yep, just hang on to it very tightly because there's a reason why I told you. Now, Laura eventually grew up, you know, she graduated high school, and Cynthia was very proud. And then she met Jawaard Eustachio. I'm butchering these names, guys, I'm sorry. But she met Jawaard, and he was amazing, you know, he was generous, well-liked by all the neighbors, and he was a real estate agent, an ex-military, and coached a youth rugby team in his free time. So, like, he was, like, the stand-up guy, gold star. Yeah, like, awesome. Perfect. Cynthia didn't really care for him much. There was something about him that she couldn't grasp onto, you know? Jawaard had a son from a previous marriage, so that probably added fuel to the fire. They ended up getting married and having two kids of their own, so Cynthia was a proud grandmother. Now, in 2001, Cynthia suffered from a massive stroke, and that left her, you know, unable to talk much. She had trouble balancing herself, and she had a slow gait. Laura was worried about her mother, you know, obviously, and Jawaard was like, hey, you know what? We have that suite above the garage. Why don't you just let her move in there? She can stay with us so that way we don't have to send her to a facility. Which, I mean, cool. That's awesome. When you get older, nobody wants to be put in a facility, man.
So, oh, yeah, facts. At least he was, like, nice enough to be like, hey, you know, let's take care of her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he didn't. At least he's like, hey, let's do this immediately and not just like, well, I don't know. No, he didn't hesitate. He's like, yeah, bring her in. Let's go. Your mother.
Oop.
Oop. Yeah, like, it wasn't always cupcakes and rainbows. Mother moved in. Everything was okay for a minute. But then Cynthia and Jawaard started to fight constantly. And I'm talking about, like, little tiny fights here and there. That's just, it was crazy. Not only that, but apparently, and I'm saying apparently because later on in the trial, there's really no evidence, but from everybody's testimonies, Jawaard was very abusive to everyone. And I'm talking the kids, grandma, his wife, very abusive. But again, like I said, the detectives tried to find evidence that he was abusive and couldn't find any. But when you ask family and everything, they can literally tell you instances of when he was abusive.
Well, those hands are rated E for everybody, damn.
Yeah. So I'm just giving you the facts and what they said, pretty much. A couple instances that I'm going to talk about is Jawar tripping Cynthia, choking his wife and beating his kids. I found the case report from, you know, the court and the trial and stuff, and there is so many stories. I'm going to link it down below. So if you guys want to see all the stories and see all the shit in this case, there's a lot. There is a lot. So be prepared, okay? But there's so many stories. Yes, there's a lot. Like that, but Dunk-a-Dunk is huge. Okay.
There's a lot of junk in that trunk. Yeah.
And unpacking it, that would be a whole nother episode alone. So I'm not going to say all of them, but I am going to mention a couple. So there was Cynthia's niece. Her name is Sabra. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Sabra recalls Cynthia smoking on the back porch one day, and Jawar would spray her with the garden hose to quote-unquote put out the fire. And he would do that with everyone. He would do it with Cynthia, he would do it with Laura, his wife, and even the niece, Sabra. Like, if he saw smoke, there was a fire that he had to put out. That's his reasoning.
Okay. And these are all grown adults smoking outside.
Yes, outside. But no. He apparently put the hose on him.
As a previous smoker, I would have thrown down instantly.
Oh yeah, like what the hell is wrong with you? Don't do that to someone.
That's not cool.
Yeah. Another instance, and again, I'm gonna do a trigger warning. It involves assault. Sabra says she was staying the night at the house and heard Laura fighting with Jawar, saying, "Stop, get off me." And the next day, Sabra brought it up to Laura, and she kind of looked embarrassed, and she had to literally sit there and explain that Jawar would hold her down and wait for her to pass out before sodomizing her because she was too loose in the other hole.
Nope.
I mean, if I've ever seen red flags, honey, this would be like a whole fucking race of red flags. Like, look, there's one, and there's one, and there's one. Like, come on.
The whole field of red flag flowers.
Exactly. It's the fields are red and alive. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so he would call Cynthia names like ghetto grandma, making Cynthia lash out, and they would just get into huge fights all over again. Like, constantly, constantly, constantly. Cynthia even said Jawar threw away her late husband's urn.
Nope.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I would throw hands. Like, I would... God, I want to say I would kill you, but, like, I'm not... I wouldn't really kill you. I'd just be really pissed.
I would throw him away. Fuck that
shit. She really does kill him, though, so that's not... you know? Okay, Cynthia ended up buying a gun in 2005 because she had a horrible feeling from Jawar. She just felt like, I need this to protect myself, pretty much. So she bought a gun. Like I said, she's very experienced with guns from the past. 2 weeks before the murder, she went to a shooting range to practice and even bought bullets for her gun. It was a 35 caliber pistol with like 5 shots. It's a 5-rounder. That comes in handy later too, pin that. 2 days before the murder, she started thinking about shooting Jawar. She wasn't really sure. So it took her 2 days to come up with the idea, like, yes, I'm doing this. He's dead.
Took some time for it to, consider it and weigh her options.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where I sit down and I'm like, is jail worth it? But the answer is always no, okay? No, I don't look good in orange. No.
Well, this is a famous quote from an elderly relative of mine. She said, if I would have killed my husband, I would have been out of jail by now. It was a shorter life sentence than this.
Oh my god.
You know.
Oh my god. That's great. Is it your aunt, your mom, whoever it is? I want to shake their hand.
It's a quote I'll never forget, and trust me, I said I'm a husband once or twice.
Oh my god, that's great. Yeah, I mean, we all have times where we're like, I really want to kill this person, but then you think about it, like all those horrible meals in jail, and you don't get to watch TV. Yeah, no.
We have that let's not do that moment.
Yeah, you're like, nah, no, I can't. And that's where normal people just stop. They cut it off. Like, no, I can't. And then move on. She did not. She was like, no, it's happening. All right, so on February 11th, 2014, this was Cynthia's 63rd birthday. And her granddaughter was having a spelling bee on that day as well. That morning, Laura slipped into Cynthia's room and gave her money for the casino because her niece, Sabra, was coming to get her after the spelling bee to spend the day together and kind of, like, shower her with gifts and have fun for her birthday. Sounds like a fun day. Now, Laura left, leaving Jawad and Cynthia alone. And then, according to Cynthia, like, I'm going to tell you guys right now that this is what Cynthia says happens. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just going by what the case file said, okay? Cynthia says she walked into the house ready to go to the spelling bee. But Jawad told her to change because she looked ghetto and like a hobo in the outfit. Of course, this pissed Cynthia off, and a fight ensued. She said that he grabbed her hands and called her names. And then Cynthia ended up going to her room and grabbing the gun that she bought, and then went back outside. Now, trigger warning, this is really sad. She found Jawad outside and she shot at him 5 times, but only hit him twice. Now, she ran out of bullets, so she needs to go and reload. So she throws the casings in the trash bin outside before getting in her car and reloading 5 more shots. She went back to the where she left Jawad outside, saw him crawl into the house, close the door, and lock it. And this made her, like, enraged. She shot the door, was surprised when the door opened, and shot at him 5 more times. Okay. So, after she ran out of bullets that time, guess what she did? She reloaded again.
It's the yeah. Rules of double tap, damn it.
Yeah, she went and reloaded for a third time. A third fucking time.
Just in case.
Yeah. And by this time, you know, Jawad is pleading for his life, saying, I don't want to die like this, and I love you, Grandma. Please don't kill me. Which in her interview it's really fucked up. Like, they're like, well, what did he say? And she like mocks him, like, I love you, Grandma. Please don't kill me. And like rolls her eyes. And I'm just like, girl?
Oh,
girl? And I just the audacity, man. So she shot him 5 more times, hitting him with a total of 12 times. So she fired 15 shots altogether, but she only hit him 12. I didn't know if that was going to be confusing. Okay, so now while this is happening, the neighbors around are calling 911 and reporting the gunshots. There's like this guy that was like in his backyard doing something and heard gunshots. And then this woman was in her bathroom doing her hair and reported the gunshots. And it's really sad because while they're on the phone with the police, you can hear the gunshots continue. So it's really sad. And also, all of them said that they could hear a help me out from the house. So
that had to be so terrifying for the neighbors, too, because you have no idea, like, it, you know.
Yeah, and, like, that's really sad because help me. And, like, you know that your first instinct is going to be, like, oh, my God, I need to go help him, you know? But, like, you can't. But, like, the feeling of, like, hopelessness they probably felt, like, there's someone over there dying and I can't help them. Or at least I would feel hopeless. A lot of people would be like, nope, not my problem.
Not my farm.
This is off topic, I know, but like a few months back, me and Free were going to the store, and I got my kid and our kid in the car. And when I was about to get in the car, our neighbor was screaming at the top of her lungs. Like, I mean, it sounded like she was in trouble, okay? And I was like, oh my God, Scott. And like, before I even said anything, he's like, nope, get in the car. I'm just like, but what if she, nope, get in the car. And I'm like, if she's like
What do you want to be next? Mind your damn business.
Yeah, that's his attitude. He was like, nah, get, it's not our issue. Get in the car. And I'm just like, we could at least call the police and like, ch no. He didn't want to do none of it. He's like, no, I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything.
So funny that you brought this up because I actually just texted you like 5 minutes ago. My neighbors are outside screaming and cussing at each other in the parking lot right now.
Yeah. You're gonna go vacuum the outside lawn, just vacuum and
Don't let me just mop in my tree.
You know what? The roof looks like it needs a good dusting, sweetie. Oh my God.
Catch me not minding my business ever.
Yep, nope. I mean, everybody likes a good gossip, I guess, so
Oh, shit.
understandable. Plus, you're gonna have to let me know how it goes. I want to know too.
I'm peeking. I'm peeking.
Okay, all right. So anyway, so yeah, he's begging for his life and she shot him 5 more times, total 12. And they're getting calls over and over again, like, hey, this guy's screaming for help, come check him. Now, when they walked into the house, they finally got there, and when they were walking up to the house, they noticed, a blood trail from outside leading inside from where he was crawling. And when they looked into the laundry room, they could actually see him lying face down, so they could actually see him. And then they walked in, figured out that yes, he really was deceased, and called the family. Now, everyone showed up except for Cynthia and his oldest son. Remember the son he had from a previous marriage? Now, at first, everyone thought that it was the oldest son because the oldest son is a recovering drug addict. And they thought that maybe he wanted money for drugs. And Jawad, being the strict disciplinarian, was like, no, absolutely not. And then a fight broke out. That's what they were thinking was happening.
Also gotta suck, like your whole family is like, oh yeah, no, it's definitely that guy, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like once the one they heard when he heard it, he was probably like, excuse me, I'm not that big of an asshole. Watch yourself. And like, I mean, he kind of, I would be a little upset, I'm a recovering drug addict and you guys immediately accuse me. Like, what the fuck? I've been doing good. You never know. He could have been clean for like years and then been like, really? All right, so they eventually found Cynthia. But when they brought her in for questioning, they weren't expecting the shit show she delivered. Like, oh my God. Oh my
Here's the
God.
sweet grandma.
Yeah, like, okay, Granny, we gotta ask it some questions. I mean, as soon as she walked in, she was like happy. She was smiling. She was waving at police officers and greeting them. Like, they figured, oh shit, she doesn't know what happened. Because, I mean, obviously. So when they sit her down, they're like, hey, I have something to tell you, and you're not gonna like it.
They're totally braced, like, I'm gonna break this terrible news. We're gonna break this old lady's heart.
Exactly. Like, be prepared to console this poor lady. She's gonna break down screaming and crying, and it's like, nah.
Crash body.
Yeah, like at first, okay, she did act dumb and she did act sad. She even fake cried for like a good minute. Okay. Then they asked her what they thought of Jawad, making her do a thumbs down motion. Like she did it twice. She didn't even say anything. She's just like thumbs down. And they're like, why do you say that, And then she tells them about the abuse and how he's a horrible man. And like, I give props because one detective was the bad detective and one detective was the good detective. And when you watch the clips that they have, like, the good detective, quote unquote, is like, oh, you're right. He is a terrible man. Someone should have stopped him. And then she's like, I did stop him. And they're like, oh, yeah, they're like, what? Excuse me, ma'am? What did you just say? And she's like, oh yeah, I know he's dead. I killed him. And when they're like, when she asked them if he was dead, just to be sure, you know, she wanted to make sure.
Those three clips, you never know.
Yeah. She started to celebrate. And I'm talking like, thank you, shaking their hand, saying thank you so much. And like, I have a clip. Okay, I'm about to play it for you. But my God, this...
So bad for laughing.
This woman, man, I can't. Okay, so it's a very quick clip. Okay, like maybe a couple seconds long. I'm gonna play it right now. This is her when she asked them if he was dead.
Ghetto granny really out here living up to her name.
Thank you. Oh boy.
You don't feel bad about it?
No.
Would you do it again?
Yes.
All right, and at the end of the clip, they're like, do you feel bad about it? And she's like, no. And she's like, would you do it again? And she's like, yes.
They fucking expect, though, honestly.
I mean, this is so hard because I'm not trying to condone what she did. A life was taken. Nobody deserves to die. But
unless it's like for a death situation, you should never take someone else's life.
Yes,
like
please don't. Every life is precious. But... If he was an abusive asshole, like they're saying, you know, like, you know.
I would go to jail for my babies.
Yes, I would. Like, I can't imagine you having your kid and you see them grow up only to get into this horrible, abusive relationship. I kind of get both sides of this. I'm sorry. I said it. I'm sorry. Hard. Like,
I worked hard on that human. Don't you come in here and fuck it all up.
Yeah, like
I have an effort in that.
I worked hard to make sure they know they're beautiful and happy. And then you just walk up in here like, oh, watch me knock it down. Like, I know.
Did you just piss on my rug?
Did you do it? But like, I see both sides because I understand. However, like I said, she really should have done an ultimatum. Instead of taking some, that's now while she was celebrating like this, okay, and she's saying she killed him, Jawar's family is on the other side of the wall and they heard everything, even her celebrating. They were shocked, obviously. I mean, ghetto grandma is the one who killed him. Come on, you're like 63 years old and you had a stroke leaving you limping and out of breath. Like, how?
Wow. Oh God, they were probably expecting grandma to like need help, like need assistance and stuff. They're like, oh, poor grandma. And she's like, ha, bitches.
Yeah, she's like, I got this. Oh, like fucking.
Hold my cane.
For real. She even has a cane. Like she was walking with a goddamn cane. I can't. Like, they probably like, what in the hell kind of Twilight Zone did I step in? But anyway, now they were shocked. Like I already said. And when they asked her, okay, well, what did you do after you killed Jawar'd? And she says she went to go get cigarettes at a gas station, but she chose the more expensive brand because it's her birthday. Then she went to Denny's, the casino, and then finally a coffee shop where they found her. And a side note, there is a liquor store on the other side of this coffee shop that she was in, and they found the gun in the dumpster behind the coffee shop, or behind the liquor store. So she, like, went to the liquor store just to dispose of the gun and then walked all the way across the street to the cafe.
Well, I guess those were the only types of shots Granny was taking. Hey!
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, you can cut that out. That
was so bad. No, it's staying on. It's staying in. Okay, so they got their confession, which means Cynthia is going to jail. Now, when they have someone go into jail, they let the family in, come in one by one to say goodbye to her. And this is really sad, so I'm gonna make you guys buckle up, okay? Her daughter Laura came in and they told her what was going on. Laura was inconsolable. And she asked her mom, you know, why would you do this? And Cynthia says she's been waiting for this for years, and she got him for her birthday. It was kind of like a birthday gift to herself. So, and while Laura is sitting there screaming and crying from the loss she just suffered, Cynthia is sitting there smiling and chanting, birthday, birthday. I tell you, this woman's out here going crazy. Hold on, there is a clip of it.
When it's my birthday, I don't ever remember wishing for a dead body.
Right. I didn't wish for someone's death. So I'm going to play the clip now where she's like chanting birthday, birthday. Please buckle up. It did break my heart to hear her like crying and screaming, but this just shows how much she did not give a goddamn fuck.
It's tragic, honestly. The poor woman.
Yeah. Okay. So this is Laura and Cynthia chanting birthday.
I wanted to.
But like while she's crying and shit, she's just like, birthday, birthday. She's like, I waited 13 years to get him. Like, okay, or you could just like not. You could move out, maybe a retirement home, a nice one.
If you were really doing this for your family, you would not be celebrating while your daughter is brokenhearted.
For real. Like, Laura is literally sitting there, crumbled, inconsolable. And then she's just sitting there watching her daughter, like, it's my birthday. It's my birthday. Yeah.
I can kill if I want to.
Yeah. I can kill if I want to. Oh my God. But yeah, like, really, what the hell is wrong with you, woman? Which, okay, I have a theory about this, okay? I'll say it at the end, my theories. So, I have a theory as to why she's like this. Now, we're going to move on to her granddaughter. Her granddaughter comes in, and I'm not going to play the clip of this because I almost cried. Her granddaughter comes in, and she can barely come into the room. Like, she doesn't want to come in the room. And Cynthia is like, come here, honey, give me a kiss, I love you. And the granddaughter is like, no, you killed my father. It's sad. It's sad to hear the clip. I'm going to have the clips linked down below. The clips and the case file will have a star next to it. So that way you can just pick them out. But it's sad. She's literally like, no, you killed my father, and starts crying. And then
it is tragic. That's
it's heartbreaking to watch on the clips, because it's like you just want to hug that girl. And I mean, she didn't even think about how everybody else would feel. Like, yeah, you hate the guy, but everybody else loves him, you know? That was somebody's somebody's husband, somebody's father, you know? Like, yes, they would be upset about this. Flash forward. They had to wait 3 long years for the trial to finally happen. 3 years for this trial to take place. And doctors had to evaluate Cynthia to make sure that she was even stable to stand trial. And they found out that, yeah, she was fine. She's able. She's okay. At the trial, they had Laura testify about the abuse. And like I said, holy shit, there's so many stories that they said on trial. I mean, the case file is just filled with them. And the family got to testify as well. And first was George, which was Jawad's brother. And he says every time he hears Jawad's name, he breaks down a little. And it kind of just tears him up. Everybody's still having a really hard time getting in. But he told Cynthia that he forgives her. Which, if anyone can forgive someone who took, like, your brother, your sister, whatever, away from you, my heart goes out to you, man. Like, that's some strength right there. Because I couldn't.
Big props for the forgiveness, but, like,
That's how his sister is. Because Jawad's sister gets on stand next. And she's a freaking savage, okay? She held up 15 pictures of Jawad and the family, representing the 15 shots fired. And she said the word monster doesn't describe Cynthia. She is the devil, and I will never forgive her for what she took from us. Which, that's fair. That's 100%.
Honestly.
Yes. And I love how she held up the shots that she took from her, from, you know.
Yeah. Nobody can tell anybody how to grieve. So this is definitely the two different sides of it. There's the forgiveness and acceptance, and then there's the go fuck yourself, you piece of trash.
Yep, which is the side that I would probably be on, not gonna lie. Because it takes 100%. A lot to forgive somebody for doing
something. Yeah, I mean, that's your brother, like, ugh.
Yeah, but kudos to George, man. Okay, now, Sabra, Cynthia's niece, she got on stand and said that Cynthia was sick. She was an amazing mother and grandmother to the family for years, and she described it as a loss on both sides of the family. They lost Jawad, which was an amazing man, apparently. And then they're losing an amazing mom.
Sayabara say that he, like, sodomized?
Yeah.
She's... But that's... I don't know.
Yeah, right? Like, he's doing all of this abuse, and you have recollections of it. But yes, you're right. This is a loss on both sides.
Yeah, that's a little sus.
Yeah. Okay. Like, Jawad's not alive. She is. You can still talk to her. You can still go see her. You can't do that with Jawad. So, I call bullshit on that.
Yeah, which if he was abusive, you would be like, oh, well.
Yeah, like, shit.
Oop, it is.
Whoop. Unpacking that junk in the trunk. All right. All right, now this is when the detectives chimed in and was like, hey, we tried to find evidence of abuse and we couldn't find it, so we don't know if the stories are true or not. The jury deliberated and came back with the verdict. And while they were reading this verdict, Cynthia over there was smiling and waving at the judge. She was just like, hi, judge, hi. You know, like, no, you're not on a fucking murder trial or nothing. Just hi. And like, she had no remorse at all. Like, no remorse. Of course, this didn't work because the judge was like, nah, and sentenced her to 50 years to life with first degree murder. She'll be eligible for parole in 2039, but she is now 70 and apparently in bad health. Yeah.
I mean, on a more positive note for her daughter, prison is way cheaper than a retirement home. Let me just be honest there.
Yeah. Prison, you don't really have to pay. So she'll be taken care of now. Okay, so my theory, because someone actually brought this up, and I've never really thought about it. So my theory is, you know how when older people have strokes, they start to, like, say things that, like, they normally wouldn't say, or, like, do things they wouldn't normally do.
Well, yeah, it affects, like, their personality even sometimes.
Yeah, it affects their brain, and, like, there's a flip that switched, okay? I think that's what happened. On top of, like, the years and years and years of abuse, the stroke happens, and then it kind of would just flip the switch, and like the caring, loving grandma, mother, like, it's not there anymore. The stroke erased that, and now she doesn't feel any of that sadness and stuff. So that's my theory. I think that's what, like, the stroke really did mess with her, and this is why she really has no remorse at all.
Yeah, because if she just suddenly has zero empathy about it and is moving on like this, I don't know.
Yeah,
no remorse towards her daughter and grandchildren is what concerns me.
Exactly, like the clip of her daughter just breaking in front of her and her just being like, birthday, you know, like, what? When you see someone on the side of the road crying or even, like, you know, freaking out a little bit, my first instinct is to, like, are you okay? Do you need help? Her instinct is to chant, it's my birthday!
It feels off. It definitely does.
And but then again, they evaluated her that she was fine. Don't understand it. Guess we never will. She's in prison and she's in a correctional facility, I think, in Florida. No, it's in California. California. That's where it's at.
You know, that one is California. Also very fitting out of the options. Those two are the best.
Yep.
The ghetto grandma case.
Yeah, the ghetto granny. What a fucking ride, guys.
That was some fuckery.
Birthday.
Like, birthday sex is what you're aiming for, ladies and gentlemen. You are not aiming to murder your son-in-law.
Okay, so thanks for joining us, guys. Thanks for sticking around. If you are not in our Discord, you should definitely join because we have people in the audience right now listening to this early. And by the time you're listening to it, it's going to be Friday. We made it, guys. We made it to the weekend.
What's good about the Discord is you get the live no cuts. You get to listen to all of the foolery.
Yep, you get to listen to all of our horrible jokes and my pausing every now and again because I lost my place and I have to stall for a second. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. But if you like that, go check us out on Twitter and Facebook. Not the Instagram, for the love Instagram. Of God. You know it. Look, we have an Instagram, but I never use it. We go over this every damn time. I might just delete it, honestly, at this point. But anyway, yeah. And then come join the Discord and have fun with us and have conversation. Because you can do more. Attend in the Discord. You can, like, case suggestions. We can have discussion afterwards. So, it's fun. Come say hi.
Bless.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Don't know why I didn't tell her. I'm so upset.